tell you guys one of my favorite, two of my all-time favorite Divrei Torah are in Parshas Noach. There's a lot of very important life ideas that you go pull out of the Parsha. First of all, the concept in general, not what I'm saying, but just the idea of having a mabul and building a teva to protect yourself. You know, many Bali Musa compare this world to just, it's a total wreck outside. You know, every person's got to build their own teva. Of course, you have to interact with the world. We're not hermits, you know what I'm saying? But every person has to build their teva where you're involved with the world, but you have your stronghold where you're able to get all your life from. But the word I want to tell you, okay, it goes like this. Noach sent out two birds, right? Which bird went? Which bird was the final one that?
The Yonah.
The Yonah was the final bird. Now, before the Yonah, he attempted to send out a different bird.
Raven.
The raven. And what happened with the raven?
No,
the Yonah did the job. The raven didn't leave. Anybody know why the raven didn't leave?
He was scared.
He was scared. But what was he scared of? The Pasuk and Rashi tells us that the raven flew out, but he kept on coming back and forth to check on Noach. He didn't go do his job. I think Chazal tells something very, very interesting. You know why he was afraid? The raven was afraid. The Gemara says he was chashed Noach al ben Zugo. He thought, I know why Noach sending me out, because he wants to get with my wife. Yeah? Okay? Now, when my Rebbe said this, he's like, no, that's got to be the weirdest thing. You know what I'm saying? Noach is a man. The raven is a bird. Yeah? Okay, but whatever, you know, you want to say there's interbreeding going on, but to think that Noach, you know, is sending out the raven because he wants to go get with Mrs. Raven, that's just weird. That's just weird. And he's like, that's why he's sending me. Why isn't he sending anyone else? He must want my wife. So what's Pshat? So I'm going to tell you Pshat and the raven, because this is not just a fault of the raven. This is something that every person could gain from this idea. People analyze it. This is when you learn Chumash, okay, because Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, you're supposed to analyze all the characters of the Torah, the Tzaddikim and the Rishonim. You can learn a lot from Paro. Tremendous amount from Paro. Okay? We learn from everyone the Torah mentions, we learn from. So the raven. What can we learn from the raven who thought that Noach was trying to get with Mrs. Raven? Listen to this unbelievable story. Rav Chaim Shulevitz, the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir, who I love telling stories about, who had such a beautiful heart. Yeah, and it was such a tremendous masmid. Avas Torah, fire. Right? One time he used to tell his Talmidim, don't go to the Kotel. Shouldn't go to the Kotel so often. You know, maybe once a month. Only go once a month because you're going to get too used to it. So some chutzpahdik Talmud says, but Rebbe, you go every Matzah Shabbos. I was like, he's like, you're right. I can't hold myself back. Like, I think, like, what if we can't hold ourselves back from? He like really says you should go to the Kotel less so you'll appreciate more, but he just has to go to the Kotel to daven to Hashem. He has to. He would go all the time to Kevah Rachel, to daven, to Mama Rachel. We have to start identifying like this, feeling connection to the Kotel, to Mama Rachel. Yeah. So Chaim Shulevitz, there was a rumor going around the Mir. It's tremendous tzaddik. He was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir in Mir, Poland. He led the Mir through Japan. Okay? He was the Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. There was a rumor in Yeshiva that someone heard Chaim Shulevitz say nibble peh, a dirty word. What? The Rosh Yeshiva. People are like, what are you crazy? What are you crazy? Rav Chaim Shulevitz? So, okay. The next day, Rav Chaim didn't show up. And then this story has a few takes. I'm just saying it how I heard it. I'm not saying that it's for sure true. This is what I heard. It's a very powerful lesson. Yerushalayim was much smaller then, especially the yeshiva world was much smaller, and everyone went. The weekly event was the Sicha of Rav Chaim Shulevitz. And Sichos Musar, it's one of my favorite Musar Svarim, because it's Musar with Lamdas. Yeah? He's a tremendous Talcha. His Musar is like, I'm not saying other Musar is not quality Musar, but this is like, it's very enjoyable. But take the Sefer Sichos Musar, beautiful, beautiful insights into character, but coming off of Pesukim and Gemaras and Chazal. It's beautiful. Take a look one day, Sichos Musar, okay? So, Rav Chaim didn't show up to Shiva, and then people started buzzing like crazy. What's going on? Whole thing back and forth. Okay. Everyone's waiting for Rav Chaim Sicha. What's he going to say? Rav Chaim Shulevitz, what's he going to say? How's he going to, like, is he going to address it? He's going to respond? So he starts off with the Gemara about Oso HaIsh. Anyone know Oso HaIsh is? Whenever the Gemara refers to Oso HaIsh, it's referring to Jesus. Okay? So the Gemara tells a story. Jesus was originally part of the crew of one of the Talmidim of the Tanaim of Rishu and Pracha. And the Gemara tells a story. One time Jesus was walking with his Rebbe, and his Rebbe was in the middle of davening, saying Krishma or something. And Jesus I'm trying to remember the exact Gemara, but a beautiful woman passed by or something. And he made some inappropriate comment. They're mixing up two Gemaras, but a beautiful woman walked by and he made some inappropriate comment. And then his Rebbe pushed him away. And that was like part of the beginning of his Rebbe made a bracha, that's what it was. A beautiful woman passed by. And when you see a beautiful creation, you make a bracha. So his Rebbe made a bracha on the woman. Okay? Now, we don't mean beauty, chas v'shalom, like indecent and disgusting, like they flash on billboards everywhere across the world. We don't mean like that. It wasn't like an underwear advertisement. You know what I'm saying? But his Rebbe recognized beauty in this woman, and he made a bracha on her. Okay? And Jesus made some type of, you know, inappropriate comment about this woman to his Rebbe. And that his Rebbe was so angry and pushed him away. And that was the beginning of the descent. And the question was, Rechaim says, if you're going to make a dirty joke, right? Don't make it to your Rebbe. Don't make it to your Rebbe. Remember that, guys, okay? Yeah? Don't make it to your Rebbe. I always tell guys, if you want to say dirty words, no problem. Go to the bathroom, stick your head in the toilet bowl, say whatever you want. Or if you're going to say it to your friend, don't say it to your Rebbe. Like, the Heiliger Rishu and Pracha, you go up to him and you say something like a dirty joke. Are you kidding me? What was he thinking? And then he brought the case of the raven. And he says, what was the raven thinking? The raven thought... What's going on over here? It's a beautiful pshat. Listen to this. There's one more Rashi. Do you know there's a rule that when the world is in pain, okay, couples are not supposed to live together. Couples are not supposed to live together because you have to kind of feel the suffering, which is an avoda always. This family, American family, just buried their 3-month-old daughter. I don't know if you saw pictures. The grave is so tiny. You see the funeral, the baby wrapped in a towel, so sad. We have to feel the pain. We can't. How could you have a regular morning this morning? Some guy's sick, sitting shift over his daughter. How could we just like laugh? I once heard a story of Shach, the great leader of the Jewish people for many decades. Yeah, I went to his funeral, my Shana Aleph in Israel. Rav Shach one time was a wedding of a very, very, very close Talmud, and Rav Shach was sitting in his seat like looking sad the whole time he was there. But he was trying to be happy, but he wasn't dancing. And I was like, what's going on? He said, oh, he just found out that he has thousands of Talmidim. He was Rashiva Punish for decades. He just found out that one of his Talmidim can't have children. He said, how could I dance? How could I smile? How could I move? You know, I had to come to the wedding. But yeah, we have to feel the pain of someone else, right? So there's a rule, there's a halacha that when the world is in pain, tremendous pain, so you're not a couple can't live together. Okay, and therefore when the mabul was going on and outside, people were, you know, the water from the marble was boiling hot. Are you guys aware of that?
No, it's just wet.
Okay, so that's what they taught in kindergarten. But in first grade, yeah, they taught the water is boiling hot, and it wasn't like a Mrs. Nishika over there.
Everybody was dead probably within like a week.
Okay,
so why can't you like do it?
Okay, but I guess the whole period was a period of destruction. Destruction of mankind, you know, like wiping out the earth. So everyone at the table, even the animals, you know, the animals are a reflection of us. The pasuk says, "Malakol aretz chamas," that the people basically explains that because the people were so messed up, even the animals got messed up. Like, you know what they talk about the gay animals in San Francisco? Everybody knows about this? No, you never heard of that? You heard about it? No one heard of this?
Yeah.
No. You heard about it, right? The people of... It's Parshas Noach. The people affect the Bria. We affect the Bria. You think when someone says, I was going to mention this, but I'm not scaring anybody, but the situation in Yerushalayim is heating up. The Arabs are throwing rocks like crazy, fireworks like crazy. This terror attack was a 3-minute walk from my house. Okay? The situation is not simple. You don't have to be scared, but you have to be cautious, but it's not simple. And Chazal tells us every war that's fought in this world is fought upstairs. How do you think that war is fought? Upstairs. How do Malachim fight? We fight with our Torah and Mitzvahs. That's all we have. Of course, you need an army to go to war. It's very important. But the first war, the main war is upstairs. And that comes with us learning Torah, Bahasmada. Torah is the best Mitzvah we can do. Us being careful what we do, careful what we say, careful what we see. Yeah? How we daven. That's how we fight this war. It's real. Okay? So what we do affects, and even what we do here affects animals. So even the animals were separate from their spouses, whatever that means. They went in pairs, some of them, right? For sure, Noah and his wife and his children and all the animals were separate. Rashi tells us, Rav Chaim says, there was one couple that wasn't separate. Any guesses?
Oh, the raven and the Mrs. Raven.
Wasn't like one of Adam's kids?
So Rashi says, the raven and Mrs. Raven. Mr. Raven just could not keep his beak, what is it, off his wife. He was the only one out of everyone that wasn't separate from his wife. And listen to this tremendous insight from Chaim Shalevitz. He says that people, you're so engrossed in your own world, you think everyone thinks like you. We don't realize that there are people that are greater than us, that are different than us, that have a different take on the world. And we're so stuck in an alcoholic is so stuck in pulled after wine. You can't imagine that there's a person that just smells wine and is like, all right, I'm not going to have it now because I got to drive home. Like, he's like, what? How do you, like, can't imagine that. So the raven was so into his wife. He was, these two Rashis are connected. The raven was so into his wife, he assumed everyone else is into his wife. Everyone else is into his wife. Yeah? And Jesus, for him, it was so, what are you, stupid, saying a joke, dirty joke to your Rebbe? No, but he assumed that, like, yeah, this is how he reacts to situations. If his Rebbe made a brach on the woman, he's probably also reacting the same way. And one of the most important things in Yiddishkeit, in growing as a Jew, we're at the 48 ways, last Perek Shishi, Pirkei Avos, 48 ways to be Kone Torah. The first one is Talmud. We have to realize that there's greatness out there. People that are different than us. Rav Chaim's subtle message was, because there's some guy that walks around with a dirty, filthy mouth, sewer in his mouth, he thinks that everyone else would talk like that. He doesn't realize there's people that would never have such words come out of their mouth. And part of the experience of Judaism and growing in Judaism is realizing that there's great people out there. Of course, you know, Avram Avinu was a human being, but when you study, we're going to study the next few weeks, the kind of Achnasas Orchim he did, day three of his Mila, sitting out, look, we it's almost like an angel. And there are people in this generation, Tzaddikim, Gedolim, people that are devoted to serving Hashem, okay? And it's important in our outlook in life, you know, that we try and appreciate people like this, and we try and connect to people like this, and we realize that even though I see the world this way, I'm not saying this, you know, people have, are angels, and they, you know, and they prophesize, I'm not saying that. But to realize that there's people greater, like not don't think we get lost. Lucille Sharm says, okay, life is like a maze. It's a hard time to go this way. I told you this, Marshall. You know, like in the fancy houses back in the day, you see in the movies, the maze of the bushes. You know that, guys?
Labyrinth.
The labyrinth of the bushes. Everywhere you go, you see the same bush, right? The only way, that's life. We don't know, turn this way, turn that way, this situation, that situation, how do I handle it? Basil Sharm says, there's people on top that have already been through it, that have already beaten the Yitzhara. They tell you, make a right, make a left, right? Don't assume the biggest favor you could do yourself, and I'm telling you from my own life, my own experience, and I see from family members and other people, the best thing you could do for yourself is find a great person. Find a Rav, find a great person who could direct you, who could help you, because there's so many twists and turns in life. Life is not smooth. There's bumps in life. If you think life is smooth, like if a person thinks he's going to have easy street, the first time he has to schlep groceries or he gets a flat tire, he's going to have a meltdown. Life has bumps. Because Baruch Hu put us here to challenge us, okay? He made difficult situations. I was just talking to someone last night who things weren't working out the way he wanted it to work out. And he was supposed to learn a certain yeshiva and it didn't work out. He was supposed to learn a certain thing, it didn't work out. Chavrus didn't work out. And I was telling him, like, you know, this may be your chance to look back in the big spectrum and kind of, there's an opportunity for real growth and try to help reframe a little bit. But this is something that I'm telling you, my own experience, having a Rebbe, having someone who, or connecting yourself, not just your Rebbeim here, but finding greatness, connecting yourself, getting an appreciation of Gedolei Torah. You know how unbelievable the Gedolei Torah are? Unbelievable. Read about them, learn about them, get their pictures, connect to them, connect to greatness, okay? And let's not fall to the trap of like, yeah, we have our life and our desires and our wants, but there's real greatness out there that we can really connect to. And this is the message of the raven, and this is the message of Chaim Shalevitz, this is the message of Jesus, that We may think one way, but there's real greatness, and we could pick ourselves up. The more we connect to it, the more we can grow. That's a good opportunity. This year is an opportunity for you guys to do that very much. I strongly encourage it, and I will help you facilitate it. It's Hashem.